I was sitting this morning thinking, I thought, man, it is really hard to believe we are already here. Here we are, start of the fall festivals, but here we are. We are here, and the days are getting shorter. I've noticed that, and I've been looking for fall weather. I was like, man, where is it at? And then this morning, lo and behold, here it is. It's 57 degrees, I think, this morning, 58 degrees, and fall is in the air. And I'm telling you, when I walked in the hall this morning, there's a lot of people already here, but it was just a buzz with excitement. It really is. I mean, you can hear it. It's bzzz. And it wasn't the sound system either. It was all of you. But you guys were just happy to see each other. It was just an amazing thing, just that excitement, I guess you could say, a feast fever that's in the air. No doubt it's in the air. And we all know what this day pictures, and everybody's excited to be able to be here. But this feast day, the Feast of Trumpets, starts off a wonderful series of days. Starts off a wonderful series of days that we have the amazing opportunity to understand and be a part of. Many of you had to travel a little ways today. You had to leave early this morning to be able to be here. You had to fight traffic. And sometimes fighting traffic is no fun. I know I heard that one bridge was actually closed and they had to go the other way. So they made an effort, though, to be here. Most of you had to take off work or take off school to be here today. There are no doubt many things that you guys have to do before leaving for the feast, but today you are here. You made the decision to be here to worship God on His holy day. Why? Why did we leave early? Why did we take off work, take off school, and choose to be here early today? Why are we here? I'd like to start with that this morning as we go on into the message. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 23. We are told here, it says, "The Lord spoke. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.'" Well, first of all, it says right here that God commanded it because the Lord spoke and He said, you shall be here. Be here together on the first day of the seventh month, as we know, Tishri. We are here on that month, that day. We're told to be right here for Sabbath rest. It says a holy convocation. We are called and commanded to be here together on this day. But looking at this phrase, holy convocation, it says you have a Sabbath rest. To have a holy convocation, the word holy in the Hebrew is kodesh. And it means apartness, holiness, sacredness, set apart by God. This day is holy to God. It is His day. He set it apart from other days as its own special day for a special purpose. And on this day, our Father that He has set apart for us, He wants us to have, it says, a convocation. A convocation. A convocation in the Hebrew is mikra, M-I-Q-R-A. And it means a reading, a calling together, an assembly. A reading, a calling together, an assembly. So today is a day set apart by our Father to assemble together to listen to readings that have been inspired by Him through His Holy Bible, through those words. And hopefully all of the words that I say today and all the words that are said today are inspired by God, inspired by Him Himself. He has called us here together today and set this day apart for us to listen and to learn. To listen and to learn from His holy word that will be and is being read and explained. We also take part in this convocation by praising God, and we've been doing that. We've been able to get up and sing praises to our Father. We sing our praises and we make a joyful noise to the Lord. He appreciates that. It excites Him. It makes Him happy that we are singing with all of our heart. It may not be pretty, not all of us, but we give a joyful noise, and we're there worshiping our God, our Father. And another thing that we do to worship, we just talked about that just a little bit ago, we gave an offering. It's how we show our worship to God, our respect to God. We've done that. We've done those things. It says that in verse 25, that we shall have an offering, that we should give an offering to the Lord. But there's one aspect of this day that I just went right over. And it is much a part of this day as all the other things that we have just discussed. Actually, it is why this day has been set apart. It has been set apart by our Father because it says in verse 24, it says, "You shall have a Sabbath rest." It says, "A memorial of blowing of trumpets." Why a memorial of blowing of trumpets? Well, the word for the phrase blowing of trumpets in the Hebrew is terah, if that's how it says it, however they say it. But I couldn't do it like they do it. But it means, and it's a good word, because it literally means shouting, a battle cry, an alarm, either of joy, jubilation, or warning. And it is a battle cry or a shouting of rejoicing. The word memorial means to bring to mind, to remember. What? The battle cry, the alarm, the joy, the jubilation, and the rejoicing that this day pictures. There's a lot that this day pictures. That is why God set this day apart, for us all to assemble, for us to have that holy convocation. Because it is a time that was said, even mentioned in the opening prayer, to bring to mind, to recall, to think about what this day means. To bring to mind all of those things that God has shown us, His people, through His inspired word about the meaning and the importance of this day. And that happens today through the readings and the speaking that we will and the teaching that we will all learn today. For the children of Israel, this day of memorial blowing of trumpets was a day to blow the shofar, to bring to mind, to recall all the things that God had taught them. He had warned them about, and what He had and would deliver them from. And what was promised to them. At this point in time, the promised land. He was taking them to a promised land. Same is true for us today. We don't go about blowing trumpets and shofars, anything like that, and shouting. But we go to the passages of the Bible and recall what God says to us about this day. And there's many things said within in the passages about this day. We bring to mind, we recall what these trumpets announce. When the children of Israel heard the sound of a trumpet, they knew it meant something. They knew what trumpets were for. Trumpets were instruments that were used to gather attention, to get their mind focused. God had Israel use them for many different things, for announcing many different things. Let's go to Numbers 10. Numbers 10. Numbers 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the congregation and the directing the movement of the camps." So it was calling the congregation and directing the movement of the camps to where they're supposed to go. There's a little more explanation here. It says, "When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." So when they heard them together, they knew where they were to go. But if they blow only one, then only the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, they shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. Then they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys, to show them where to go, how to be coming. And it says, "And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered, it says, before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt out offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Just as these trumpets were used to explain in advance, we see that. They were used to be able to call the congregations to order, either to call them or bring them on their journey, where they were supposed to be coming and from where they're to advance from. It says also to sound a warning of war. and usher in festivity. They knew what the sounds meant. They knew what these trumpets meant. This day to us is one of calling to mind, like the sounding of trumpets, the important and life-changing messages that are written in the pages of this book, this amazing book. This day reminds and explains to us our responsibility, how we're to walk, how we're to be going in the right direction. It is also a warning not to only the entire earth, but to us. And it is also to announce good news of the kingdom of God. So today I want to reflect on one part of it, but it actually encompasses it all. What is coming upon this world and us? The title of this message, anybody who likes titles, is simple. It is Behold, It Is Coming. Behold, It Is Coming. Hopefully, as we go through the message, you'll understand why I titled it this. There are many times that God told Israel what they were to do. He explained to them how they were to live to receive the promised blessings. He explained that to them. They were also told many times of the calamity that would come upon them if they did not change. He says, this is the way you shall walk. If you walk this way, these blessings will incur. If you do not, these cursings will come about. Many times he did this. God relayed this through his prophets. He used them, if you will, as trumpets to sound a warning, to show them the way they're to be walking, to proclaim what he had told them about. He says, to proclaim this to the children of Israel, to the children of Judah. He says, explain these things. He explained to them that they were living contrary whenever these prophets would speak. Most of the time is because they were living contrary to his holy way and holy righteous way of life. God warned them of what was going to happen. God explained that to them because of their disregard of his laws. There's one passage that I would like to look at as a reflection from what God had told the prophet to tell the children of Israel and to Judah. But I'd like to look at it as a reflection of what is coming upon the world. Because the thing is, when God says something, he follows through with it. When God mentions something, he says something, he follows through with it. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 21. The prophet Ezekiel, his message was directed mainly to the children of Israel. He speaks of Israel more times than he speaks of Judah in this particular book, because many times he mentions the house of Israel, and it's mentioned more times in the house than the house of Judah. But in Ezekiel 21, verse 1, it says this. Ezekiel 21, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem. Preach, proclaim, announce against the holy places and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteous, it says, and wicked from you. Because I will cut off both righteous and wicked from you, therefore my sword shall go out of its sheath against all flesh, from south to north, from one end of the nation to the other. The judgments of God would sweep through the land. That's what he was saying. The thing is, because of their sins, it not only affected those who were sinful, it affected those who were righteous as well, because they all were led off. As we know, Ezekiel was led off into captivity, as were few of the others. But he goes on, he says, that all flesh may know that I am the Lord. I have drawn my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return anymore. It won't return until it has been accomplished. He says, sigh therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart. Sigh with bitterness before their eyes. Let them see it. He says, and it shall be when they say to you, why are you sighing? That you shall answer, because of the news. Because of the news. Because when it comes, every heart will melt. All hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. It says that they will lose control. They will knock. He goes on to say, behold, it is coming and shall be brought to pass. Why? Says the Lord. Says the Lord. God said that this would happen. And guess what? It happened. It happened. He said, behold, it is coming and it shall be brought to pass. And it came to pass. God has given us warning many times in scriptures, all through the pages of the word, of his word, that this day is coming. This day that we sit here today and observe is coming. It is going to come to pass. And we are here today to bring to mind what is coming. So what is coming? What is coming? Let's go to Isaiah 13. We're here still in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah 13. Hear from another prophet. Isaiah 13, verse 6. Isaiah 13 and verse 6. Wail, it says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands, it says, will be limp. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But what we just read in Ezekiel. He goes on to say, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord, it comes. Cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it, from the stars of heaven and their constellations. They will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. He says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. We see here what is going to be coming upon the earth. Because of the things, the unrighteousness, because of sins. We see the things that are coming about. Let's go to Joel 2, another prophet. Joel 2. Joel 2 in verse 1. He says, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Because the trumpet was used to make a call of warning, the shofar. He says, and the sound of alarm, and it says, in my holy mountain, to sound that alarm, let all the inhabitants of the land, it says, tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. They all say the same thing. We'll look at one more, Zechariah. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 1. One verse here. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Another prophet. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. That is what is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming. This day, this Feast of Trumpets, announces change. It announces what is coming. It announces events that will literally reshape this world. The day announces a major and critical turning point in the history of this world and mankind as a whole. That's what this day announces. Jesus Christ is going to return. It announces that. God is going to intervene. He is going to intervene on behalf of who? His saints. And on behalf of the entire world to save them from themselves. This day, this Feast of Trumpets proclaims a new age, a new world order, a world order that ends human rule and announces the reign of Jesus Christ and his saints on this earth. But what preludes his coming at first is not going to be pleasant. It is not. Let's go to Revelation 8. We're told what happens before the announcement of our Savior Jesus Christ. Revelation 8. All of this leads up to that seventh trumpet. Revelation 8. Revelation 8 and verse 1. Says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints, all of those of God's people, upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And as you can go through there, and we won't hit on each one of these, but we'll just look at what is said. It says the first trumpet sounds, and it says that all the vegetation is struck. All the trees, a third of the trees that are burned up, and the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And it says a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. You think that's going to get anybody's attention? You think that's going to bring anybody to their knees? Then the third trumpet. It says, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and the springs of the water. And it says, it made the water bitter. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water. There's going to be death. There's going to be destruction because of the sins of man. Fourth trumpet, it says, and the fourth angel sounded, verse 12, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so a third of them were not dark, that third of them were darkened. And a third of the day did not shine. I can't even imagine that. That a third of the day didn't shine. You don't see a third of the moon or a third of the stars. That's really going to shake some people up. And then I looked and I heard an angel in verse 13 flying through the midst of the heaven saying with a loud voice, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we don't have time to get into those. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. You go on and you read about the fifth trumpet. You read about the sixth trumpet and all the things that happen because of that, those trumpets that are sounded. I mean, it's frightening reading it. You can only imagine how the world is going to respond to this. They're going to look at it as an alien invasion, no doubt, is how they're going to be perceiving it. But each of these six trumpets, they announce terrible things that will come upon this earth because of the blatant sins against God. It will be a time of great sorrow, pain, suffering, and death. All because of humanity's sins and their unwillingness to change. Even after all these things, guess what? It says that they will still not repent. After all of those things. And we read these words. And the thing is, when we read these words and we see what it says in here and what is going to be coming upon the earth, it should shake us to our core. It should literally shake us to our core. It should awake us out of sleepiness. Jeremiah said something back in Jeremiah 23 that I'd like to read. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 9. Jeremiah 23, verse 9, he says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shakes. They were speaking false things. He says, I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome. Why? Because of the Lord. Because of his holy words. He was shaken knowing what was coming. Knowing not only what was coming on the nations at that point, but also what was coming later on at the end of time. He was shaken to his core. He says, for the land is full of adulterers, and because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like a slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them, their year of their punishment, says the Lord. And Jeremiah knew exactly what was coming, and it shook him to his core. When we hear these things, does it rattle us? We know that all of this has to come to pass. We know. Because of a decision that was made almost 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. Always comes back to that. We know ultimately, or it all started with Satan. But man made a decision to reject God's instruction and choose for themselves what was right and what is wrong. That decision that was made all of those years ago still resounds today, loud and clear. Because man continues to reject God's most holy and perfect laws, mankind has continued further and further into evil and to darkness, and their attitude and their thinking has become of that of me, myself, and I, of bitterness, of hatred, of contentions, of wrath. You can go back to 2 Timothy 1 and see that, or 3, verses 1 through 4. But because of these attitudes, we see so many horrible, evil, and life-altering things going on all over the world. We see it. It's everywhere. All kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of disease. We have broken homes. We have abuse of all kinds. We have murders. We have wars. We have rumors of wars. We have hunger. We have all kinds of evil things that people do to one another. Sex trafficking, drug trafficking that feeds the drug situations and the addictions, all kinds of disgusting and perverse movies and gaming systems or gaming things, pornography, which leads to terrible things and all kinds of sexual sins. This world is literally sick. It is sick. One other thing that I've looked at, and it makes me sick. I was aghast whenever I looked at it. There's an abortion page that tracks the number of abortions in this world. Sick, I know. But yesterday, at 1:28 p.m., 1,425 children had been aborted so far in the U.S. yesterday by 1:28. At 1:28 p.m. yesterday, the United States this year aborted 639,253 children. The city of Louisville proper is around 620,000. Brings it into perspective. Worldwide this year, this will floor you. Today, by yesterday at 1:28, 27,938,420. Worldwide since 1980, 1,507,607,807, still ticking faster than a second. Population of the earth in 1900 was 1.6 billion. These are things that they're not even going to repent of after the six trumpets are blown. Not even after six trumpets. We are literally, as a world, killing ourselves. We are killing ourselves. We have enough nuclear firepower to wipe ourselves off of the face of the planet. The thing is, I haven't even scratched the surface. Not at all. Why have these things happened? Because of a rejection of God's most holy and righteous way of life. That's why these things have happened. At the sound of the seventh trumpet, I mentioned six. But at the sound of the seventh trumpet, it announces a change. It announces a government change. It announces good news. Amazing news. Revelation 11, we're right here. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15, and it says, "The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign,' it says, 'forever and ever.'" Our Lord will take ownership. He will take full ownership of this world. And he will take over and be the ruler. It says he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The day of the Lord is the intervention of God to put down all evil and to start to establish his holy and righteous kingdom here on this earth. How awesome that is going to be. How amazing that is going to be. What about us today? In knowing this, reading this, looking at this, discussing this, reading the very words of God, I ask the question, are we preparing? Better yet, no, are we ready? Are we ready? Because, guess what? The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming, just as God had prophesied to Judah, just as God had prophesied to Israel. Destruction and calamity was upon them. He proclaimed it through his holy prophets. He says, this is the word of the Lord. Behold, it is coming. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But no one, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. One will be prepared, one will not be. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He would have prepared himself and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He says, watch, prepare, be ready. He goes on to say in verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, whenever he comes, when he returns, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him a ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, if he becomes like the rest of the world, all these other things that are going on around him, he conforms to society, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking, when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware. And that master will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There it says, there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. There will be wailing. You know, this world is going to continue on like nothing's going to happen. Just as it says as in the days of Noah. They're going to continue going about their day-to-day life because Jesus Christ isn't going to return. But we know better than that because God has spoken it. And it will happen. You know, this same attitude was caught up within Israel and Judah. They had the prophets, they proclaimed like a trumpet the warnings, the way that they were to walk, what they were to change, and if they didn't, what was coming upon them. But they continued on with their lives as if nothing was going to happen. They were caught up in their own lives. But the thing is, what God said would happen, happened. And guess what? They were caught off guard. And there was weeping and there was gnashing of teeth. There was wailing. Guys, we are the spiritual house of Israel. We are the spiritual house of Israel. Judgment begins at the house of God. Today is our day of salvation. Guess what? Behold, the end is coming. We are told it will be like a thief in the night at an hour we do not expect. It is going to catch the entire world off guard. Will it catch you? Will it catch me off guard? If it happened today, would you be ready? If it happened today, would I be ready? We have been warned. We have been instructed. We've been called to this amazing, special way of life. This memorial of blowing a trumpet should make us stop and think. Stop and think. It is a day of warning. It is a day of reflection and a day of rejoicing. We must stop and look at ourselves in the spiritual mirror and ask, am I ready? Am I ready? Then honestly answer, because the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Second Peter 3, verse 1, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But they willingly forget that by the word of God, there was a flood. God said that it would happen, and it happened. And God destroyed all mankind, except for those who were on the ark. And he goes on to say, But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that is with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What God says was going to happen will happen, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us all to see this. He wants all mankind to see this in their order. But today, the house of Israel, the spiritual house of Israel, he wants us to see it. He says, I am coming. The day is coming whenever this is going to take place. In verse 10, he says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct, it says, and godliness? We don't know when it may be too late for us. We don't know. Today is our day of salvation. Those of us who have made that commitment with God must assess our relationship with our Father. He wants us to be part of His family. The thing is, though, He wants to know if we want it. He wants to know if we want it. He has given us the gift of His Spirit and the understanding of the mystery of the kingdom and all that is going to come about. He has given that to us. He's shown that to us. And he tells us, this is the way to walk. Walk you in it. Don't conform to society. Don't compromise. Live lives of godliness. Within all of this, we have to understand that God means what he says. He means what he says. So that means that this day is coming and we must be ready. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, it says, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps. They all took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil, it says, in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, it says they all slumbered. They all slumbered. They all, it says, were negligent. They all didn't do things as they were supposed to. They all, it says, slumbered, and it says, and slept. Yielded to sin. It says, but at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all did. They all knew. They said, well, we're all part of the body of Christ. It's time to go. The time is now. And the foolish said to the wise, well, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, they now felt like they needed to put their spiritual house in order. So they did. They went, it says, and while they went to buy, while they went to put their spiritual life in order, while they went to get ready, it says the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Those who were ready. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That has got to be something that is going to be very hard for God to do. But he has told us. He has warned us. In verse 12, 13, he says, watch, therefore, for you neither know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. It says right here, if we are not ready, we will not be there. We may be there, but we won't be a part of that pivotal moment at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. What happens at the sounding of the seventh trumpet? Yes, it announces Jesus Christ as the ruler of this world. It announces him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the establishment of God's government coming upon this earth. That's what it proclaims. But it also announces something else. We're here in Matthew 24 or Matthew 25. Let's look at Matthew 24. Start in verse 29. Immediately, it says in verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon and stars, it says the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. We see that it's alluding to the trumpets being blown and things that are going to be happening. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, it says, will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power, it says, and great glory. And then verse 31, he says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What is coming? The resurrection of the saints. We who are called and chosen of God, we who have a relationship with our Father through a close, constant contact, we who study and hold fast to his word, we who afflict our bodies to grow closer to him and who meditate upon his word and his greatness, we who are ready, we who live lives of righteousness, will be clothed with eternal greatness at the sound of the seventh trumpet. Not just us, not just us, but those who have gone before us, those who were faithful to the end. We are told that it says we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians, verse 15. And verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, There will be some of us that are still alive. There will be some of us that see all of these things happen. But it says, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know, thinking about this, God does not do anything, nothing at all, that is less than spectacular. I've sat and thought about this. And I can only imagine how this day is going to take place. I can only imagine in my own thoughts how that's going to come about. I read back in Matthew 24 that he's going to send his angels from the four winds, from all the corners of the earth, from all over the globe, from north, south, east, west, wherever his saints lay, wherever his saints stand. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I think of this. Sorry. Just blowing out of the ground. That's what I think. And I think, what a firestorm that is going to be. Can you imagine the people that are on the ground seeing this happen? Didn't mean to scare you. I was talking to the microphone. But we will all be changed. We will all rise, it says, to meet our Lord in the air. How spectacular that is going to be. How amazing that is going to be. What an awesome day that is going to be when we shall all be changed. God is just and He is true concerning His promises. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and all that it entails. So he says, prepare. We must be preparing for these days ahead. These days are coming. Are we ready? Or will we be caught unaware? God doesn't play games. Our Father means what He says. We cannot allow the passing pleasures of life to pull us away from what really matters. We must be living this life as if Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow. That's how we must live our life. We must have the zeal and the desire to live in a way that is acceptable and pleasing to our Father in everything that we do. This is the only way we're going to inherit eternal life. It's the only way that we're going to be a part of that first resurrection, to meet Christ in the air. Those of the first resurrection are the only ones who get to do that. We must be preparing today to be ready for tomorrow. I'd like to end with a quote from our booklet, the book of Revelation, The Storm Before the Calm. Page 21, it says this, and I quote, "For those who have been invited into a relationship with God and have committed their lives to His service, now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to prepare for the perilous time that is coming upon the whole world, and to sound the warning to all who will listen. The warning message also includes hope. It's the gospel, the good news of the peaceful and productive kingdom of God that Jesus Christ will set up when He returns." End quote. We have been called to be the lights of this world. We have been called to be the messengers to proclaim the good news of this kingdom. We have been called to be the ambassadors of the soon coming kingdom that will be established upon this earth. If this is our life, then when the sound of the seventh trumpet happens, we will rise. Behold, the day is coming.